2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com. If you enjoy the podcast and want to check out our premium tools, be sure to go over to DFSArmy.com and use promo code TACO on sign up for a lifetime 10% off. This week, the tour will be headed to Houston for the Shell, well, formerly known as the Shell, just the Houston Open this year, at the Golf Club of Houston. It's our first event in Texas. And it's our first event off of the Bermuda and Poa Inoue greens so far in the season. It'll be our first look at bent grass greens, which could cause a little bit of shakeup in the putting statistics so far this year. Guys coming in that are putting for better or worse could be putting a little differently this week. These are some really large greens, and they're really, really quick. 13.5 on the stimp meter, some of the quickest greens we'll be seeing all year long. And the course is going to be a little bit different this year, I think, than years past. It was affected by Hurricane Harvey. Several holes were underwater for a good amount of time. Now, that was quite a while ago. That was August of last year. We're already in March, so I don't know if it'll be that huge of a difference, but there is a chance that the course could play a little bit different. Usually, this is quite the bomber's course, and there's not a lot of trouble to be found. The double bogey and triple bogey numbers are very low. We see a lot of pars, and we also don't see hardly any eagles. It's very hard to come by eagles in this course, even though there are four par fives. They're pretty hard to hit. The fairways are not hard to hit, though. They're quite wide. You'll be taking the driver out on most holes. Although you can get into a little bit of trouble here, but like the numbers show, you're not going to get into any huge trouble. There isn't like water like we've seen at some of the recent tournaments. So these double and triple bogey numbers, you know, we're coming from some tournaments where those numbers were really high. Very low numbers in that regard this year, or this week. The course play is almost exactly even par. It's a 7,440 par 72 with four par fives and four par threes. So classic bomber's course. People are getting ready for the Masters next week. Some guys are trying to qualify for the Masters. Others just praying for a chance that they could win to get in. A lot of guys are in that boat. And then a lot of the guys that are already in are just getting their game ready. Some guys like Phil Mickelson have noted that they use this week as like a practice session for the Masters, but Phil does have a good track record of success here regardless. But just to give you a little information, you know, some of these guys that are superstars and are playing, you know, they'll cost a lot this week, you know, the Jordan Spieths of the world, but there is a chance that these guys could not have their heart in 100% or be looking forward to Augusta. Maybe they'll take some more, some bolder shots, or try working on their shot shaping, or, you know, there's some factors that could come into play here. Don't overthink it, don't overreact to it, but just know that some of the high-end guys here could dial it in early and just look to next week. With that said, there are five guys in this field who rank out to be the top in odds value, and they're all around the 10-1, 11-1, 12-1 range. And there's a big drop-off after them, so there's going to be a big five in this field. Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, Henrik Stenson, and Phil Mickelson. Right all around the same range, and then the closest to them would be Daniel Berger at 23-1, so there's quite a drop-off from those five. Those five guys will all cost you over $10,000. But you do get a pretty good discount on Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. Out of this group, Justin Rose is just ever so slightly the favorite over Ricky Fowler. He's had some very good showings over the last few weeks, third at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and fifth at the Valspar Championship. Likewise, Ricky Fowler, who's had a little bit more success here at this course, is coming off a 14th place finish at the Arnold Palmer, but his current year has been a little bit shakier than Rose's has. Rose has kind of been on fire here. And right behind them, it's weird to see Spieth as the third favorite here, but he's coming off of the miscut at the Valspar and a miscut at this event last year. He did finish runner-up in 2015, but last year he had a rough go of it, missed the cut by a couple strokes, and didn't have the best Masters performance either, at least by his ridiculous standards. So when attacking this group, you're not going to be making almost any lineups without at least one of these five guys. The field strength is just kind of not that strong after these five guys right here. A lot of guys are skipping, just focusing completely on Augusta. But, you know, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson, all five of these guys have a chance to go well or to do well, but they all have very different skill sets here. Rose is the only true, well, Rose and Phil Mickelson are the only true bombers out of this range. You know, you don't have your DJs or John Rahms of the world here, but all five of these guys have a track record of success here. You know, Spieth has a runner-up finish, Stenson has two runner-up finishes. Phil Mickelson won this thing in 2011 and proceeded to follow that up with five straight top 20 finishes. Didn't have the best go of it last year, finishing T55, but he has been playing out of his mind since then. Recently, the last four tournaments, just absolutely insane. All finishes in the top six. Won in Mexico. He didn't get out of his group in the match play, the Dell match play, but he was a really tough group. Had Rafael Cabrera Bello and Charles Howell III just feeling it. Won out of that group, but not worried about Phil here. I kind of really do like him. He's the best value out of all these guys, but I expect his ownership to be quite insane this week. The game log looks about as perfect as it could be. And his course history here is a model of consistency. You know, some of the other guys like Spieth and Stenson, even Fowler, have some miscuts recently at this course. Phil Mickelson is just all made cuts pretty much. Same for Rose too. Rose is one of my favorite plays here. He's probably the guy I'm going to be owning the most out of these five. I know I love me some Stenson, but he could definitely, he would be the number one candidate here to like just withdraw or dial it in. So I'm kind of worried about him. GPP only, even though, you know, I love his play style for like cash games and consistency. It's just he's been way too prone to withdrawing and just not caring and missing the cut. Missed the cut horribly here last year. Missed cut by four or five strokes. That was really bad. And who knows with Stenson, you know, his course history is so tricky. He'll lead you on and then he'll just miss the cut horribly. So like at the Valspar, then you'll turn it around out of nowhere, you know. So he's had some very variant results. I love my guy. I'll still be playing him a lot in GPP, but he's not going to make the cash game. Going back to Jordan Spieth here, I know his price tag is pretty awesome when comparing him straight up to Rose and Fowler here, but he got smashed in his group, and you know, he also missed that cut at the Valspar. Last few outings for Spieth have been not good. Not good here last year. That said, he's really struggled with putting. Maybe the switch to bent grass greens in his home state of Texas will be a good thing for him, but I kind of said that last year at this event, and it didn't turn out that well, but we'll see. Spieth could definitely be an option if you want to use him for sure. He's the best golfer in this field, so there's always merit to playing the best golfer in a field, especially when he's not the most expensive. Moving down the list a little bit here, the list, get it? Because up next we have Luke List at $9,600, which is just a bonkers price for him. He's never been priced this high before. This would be his price at like the event last week, the Punta, I don't even know. I forgot. Shoot, the Corrales something. I don't know. But yeah, that would maybe be his price there. But nope, $9,600 for Luke List. I would have never imagined it. But over the last six tournaments, he turned his game, just took a complete 180. He went from missing cut after cut to all top 26 finishes in his last six events. Runner-up at the Honda Classic, and finished 7th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Most recently, he did not make it out of his groups at the match play, but he had a really, really tough, tough matchup with one of the highest scoring guys of the week in Justin Thomas. He didn't make it to the finals there. Ended up losing to the champion Bubba Watson, but he just had a tough group. Had a tough go at it. Didn't end up doing all that great, but this is an event where he finished 3rd last year, 27th the year before. He's an absolute bomber. One of the longest in this entire field. Only a few guys can hit the ball longer than him. He drives at 318 yards on average. And also he scrambles a lot. He doesn't really need to hit the fairway that often. He can just scramble it easily after hitting it so long. I think the wideness of the fairways will really help List here. So I think he kind of keeps it rolling. I know the price is insane for him, and the odds value isn't great either. But, I could see the wheels falling off of this thing and him missing 3 or 4 cuts in a row. Or I could see it continuing. I mean, it's hard to really know with List. He just keeps rolling. I just do like the bomber at the bomber's course. I like, when I'm not sure which way a player is going to go, I like kind of rolling with course fit a little bit. Daniel Berger at 9,400, 11,000 on FanDuel. I won't forget about you, FanDuel. Should mention over there, Phil Mickelson, 12,400. One of the most expensive guys there. Compared to the price of 10,200 on DraftKings, he's definitely more appropriately priced over there on FanDuel, but... looking at Berger here, I really do like this play a lot. He's been playing phenomenally outside of that Genesis Open event where he finished almost dead last. I don't know how that came to be, but outside of that, he's been absolutely rolling even since the swing season. He's finished 5th in this event 2 years running now. On his debut, he finished T25 in 2015. An excellent track record here. He is somebody that putts better on bent grass greens than he does normally, so I do like him for that. It really does show at this course, and he's been a solid cut maker. I know he had that terrible event at the Genesis Open, but looking past that and just looking long term, he's making cut after cut after cut. $9,400, that's an alright price for him. He's a good alternative if you do want to get off of the expensive guys here. Rafael Cabrera Bello, maybe he won't be 1,000,000% owned this week since he is priced in the $9,000 range. He did not make it out of the group with Phil Mickelson or CH3, but he finished 3rd in the WGC Mexico event where we last saw him, and then had a bunch of finishes that were just barely top 30 in his first three events, 2 26s and a 29th place finish. Last year, he got absolutely smashed at this tournament. Finished near the bottom of the field, tied with Henrik Stenson, actually. But at his debut in 2016, he finished 4th. So very up and down with his results here. And that's something that we see a lot from Cabrera Bello. And I think at this time last year, his form was pretty bad. I think he was missing like multiple cuts in a row headed into Augusta. But this year he's been steamrolling his way into Augusta, so Cabrera Bello will definitely retain some ownership, and he'll be someone to look at. On FanDuel, his price is insane at 11.5. I don't think he can pay for that. He's expensive on DraftKings as it is. FanDuel, he's just nuts. Like, that price is insane. Russell Henley, looking like the new Phil Mickelson of this course. He's your defending champion. His track record here outside of that is just spectacular. 4 straight top 7 finishes for him. Henley's just someone that flies under the radar a lot. He's had a really up and down season so far. Started off the season by missing the cut twice in a row by one stroke, then turned it around a little bit. And then most recently we saw him at the WGC Mexico event. He had a really poor performance there, finishing towards the bottom half of the field. Henley's a very streaky golfer, but if he's good at playing at a course, he tends to break out of funks and play at courses that he's played well at. I think he has a few courses like that where he's just good year to year. He really is not a good scrambler at all. But if he can just keep it on the fairway, which he does a very good job at, very, you know, high driving accuracy kind of guy, you know, he has just enough distance and he putts so well on bent grass. He's a perfectly fine play here. Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be popular for the course history. That's not going to go overlooked. Usually Henley's kind of a lower owned guy. Not really this week. That course history just looks too good. But, you know, you could use him as an option here. I see him as about as good of an option as RCB or even Kuchar here. I like Berger better, obviously, but Henley's definitely someone I'll have some exposure to. I mentioned Kuchar here, $9,100. You know I always like Kuchar, but I'm getting ready to smash him next week. You know, he made it out of his group, but he had the easiest group in the match play. And I don't think it was close, really. So he worked his way out of the group, and then he hit a hole-in-one last week. Didn't help me any, even though I had a bunch of Kuchar. Didn't count for anything on DraftKings, just the hole one. I did like that match play setup, though. You know, Kuchar had been in, I guess, somewhat poor form, you know, finishing towards the bottom half of the field in Mexico and just barely making the cut at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. But, you know, I think Kuchar's just going to do Kuchar things here. He missed the cut horribly last year at this event, just horribly. And it kept me from playing him in Augusta, and I always regret not playing Kuchar at Augusta. I'm gonna play Kuchar a lot at this year's Masters, and I'm just not really using him this week as much. Maybe he'll do the same sort of thing as last year. I don't know, but he finished runner-up in 2014, a couple of eighth-place finishes back towards the turn of the decade here, but that was a while ago. You know, Kuchar, I know he looks like he's a super old guy, but he's younger than Paul Casey. He's younger than Henrik Stenson. I'm not too worried about Kuchar week to week. I'll probably play him in cash like I kind of always do. I don't know. I like him better when he's in like the $7,000 range. I liked that throughout the beginning of the season. And we'll see that next week. He's one of the freebie plays for the Masters here. But I'll kind of use him there. I'll give him a break this week because he's definitely going to be trying things out for Augusta. Tony Finau at $9,000. Now that is somebody that I can get behind here. He's not a good putter at all. In fact, he sucks at putting. But this year, it's not looking that way. It's looking like he's a good putter. He's kind of turned things around. And he's definitely never going to be the most accurate off of the tee. But 322 yards averaging off the tee, that's just That's just incredible. He is an absolute freaking bomber. I would expect him to be better at this course, but he missed the cut in 2016. Last year he finished 34th, which is okay, I guess. He made it out of his group last week, but had missed the cut at the Valspar Championship, which actually broke a very long made cut streak that he was on before that, and that missed cut was coming right after a second place finish at the Genesis Open. I like Finau a lot, just week to week. Everybody does, and the price is pretty good for him. He's a lot more expensive on FanDuel at $11,700, but I think it'll make for a popular play as his odds to pricing do stick out compared to other guys in this range. But I don't see any problem with him. I'm definitely not going to be fading this guy. He'll kind of be a core play for my Bombers lineups. Moving on down to $8,000 range here, you've got Charles Howell III, who was looking pretty good last week. Definitely was not the person I expected to come out of that group. I thought that was going to be Rafa or Phil for sure, but Charles Howell was feeling it. This year, he's really been feeling it, you know, has made almost every cut, missed the cut at the Honda, but, you know, early season Charles Howell's, early season Charles Howell, he's always going to just be a cut machine. And here, that's been the case. He's had 3 top 10 finishes in the last 5 years, missed the cut pretty badly in 2014, but outside of that, he has a track record of success here. Kind of a high fantasy point score on par fives, one of the best of anyone in this upper range, and having 4 par fives, it's going to help fantasy scoring a lot, so I like that with Charles Howell. That and just I always feel he's pretty much safe to make the cut. The only place I worry about him is on the par threes, because I'll have extra par threes as well, but I like his approach numbers. Out of anyone in the field so far that I've talked about, he has the best strokes gained approach. And I know I haven't really talked a lot about that, with these being, you know, bigger greens, harder to miss, on driving power kind of having a lot more pull this week, but, you know, approach is always, always going to be important. It's never not going to be important. And I always like to focus on guys that have good approach numbers. And then somebody's that has even better approach numbers than him. Right underneath him, $8,800, we have Steve Stricker, $9,600 on FanDuel as well, where he's a very good price. So far on the season, on the PGA Tour, he's 3 for 3. Most recently, 12th at the Valspar Championship. And on the Champions Tour, he's looking like the man. He's won 2 tournaments in a row. So Stricker's in a good place, going to get ready for the Masters here. And I'm really feeling him as a cash play, because he is a cash play, man. I know he missed the cut here in 2016, but his game was, I think he was dealing with an injury, honestly, back in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. But his track record here from before that year is just really good. 4th in 2011. You know, he's definitely not the longest off of the tee, and that's going to hurt him a lot, especially on these par fives. And that's kind of why I like him for cash. I definitely think he's going to make the cut, but I don't know if he has the fantasy scoring upside, especially with these par fives and whatnot. He actually hasn't been putting it that well this year, which is kind of a shocker, because that's like the main thing he does well. But historically is a very good bent grass green putter. Just a great putter overall, one of the better putters of recent generations of golfers. So Stricker, you know, I like him in cash over GPP here, and I like him on FanDuel. We have Byung-Hung An at $8,700, $9,500 on FanDuel. Some good finishes recently. 14th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational and 5th at the Honda Classic. Did miss the cut by 1 stroke at the Valspar Championships. He's a very long bomber too, and I don't think a lot of people realize this. He hits it over 310 yards on average. And on top of that, he has a 62% driving accuracy rating, which is astounding for somebody that hits the ball that long, frankly. You look at Luke Liston and Tony Finau, the other two bombers we talked about so far, they hover around 50%. He's looking at 62% right now. He hasn't played as many tournaments as these guys, but the numbers are still really good looking. And, you know, with him, it's about him being a horrible putter. He is a really, really atrocious putter, but historically the numbers at Bentgrass show him as just like an average putter. And, you know, you turn this horrible putter into an average putter, and, you know, the world is his. He's never played here before, but I don't mind it at all, because this doesn't seem like it seems like an event. We're just looking at the course histories here. It seems like a lot of people do well in their first time out here. So don't mind Byung-Hung An at all. He's never going to be highly owned, really. And he's one of the safer plays from this $8,000 range. I know it's kind of a lot to say considering Stricker and Howell right there, like, and Finau and Kuchar, all these super consistent guys, but I don't think people are going to consider An in the conversation. Now, I wouldn't play him in cash, but I really do like him for GPPs. I think he's a lot safer of a play than I usually think of him. Keegan Bradley, $8,600. It's quite expensive for Bradley. He's been the $7,000 range for how long now? He's finally graduated and come back. This is a track where he's very good at. Four top 15 finishes over the last 7 years here, but missed the cut in 2016. He's been pretty consistent too. The only missed cut he has over the last like 20 tournaments is at the Genesis Open, and that was by one stroke. So, you know, he's another guy hitting over 300 yards, but with the 65% driving accuracy rate, and the sample size is huge with him. He plays a lot of tournaments, so his total driving right now is insane. I love that for this course. So even though his odds to pricing is pretty bad, 50-1 compared to we got Byung-Hung An at 39-1, Steve Stricker at 41-1. But even though Bradley's right there in the price, I love how he's been playing. Honestly, not a good putter here, but maybe the change in greens will mix things up with him. And then you got Emiliano Grillo, who was the most expensive player last week at the Corrales Punta Canas event, and he made the cut, but he was really disappointing, finishing 50th. I think he's officially made a bajillion cuts in a row at this point, so another cash game kind of play here. But you really do have to be disappointed that he would drop the ball so hard at such an easy event. Then you've got a guy that a lot of people don't know really what to do with, Shubhankar Sharma. It was super hot over in Europe, winning multiple events. Comes over to the WGC Mexico event. Kind of considered him a bit of a trap, but he finished 9th. He had some really, really sexy numbers. Also had some hole outs, which help his fantasy scoring numbers a lot. 303 yards off of the tee with a 68% driving accuracy, and that was at the WGC Mexico event. That's the only really event that we have any data for him from. But man, yeah, I know if you've got to adjust the 303 yard drive, obviously that was in Mexico, you know, way up in the sky. But you got to imagine his true driving distance is probably like 290, which is acceptable. And then the driving accuracy, I mean, that was legit, you know. So that's always been, I guess it's one of his better calling cards from the European Tour, though his numbers from the European Tour also, like, really lacking. So we're still not quite sure what to make of Sharma. I know that he is a bad putter, at least from the one event that he played, the WGC Mexico event. That's what held him back, was his putting. But, you know, we don't know how he putts on bent grass. I couldn't imagine it's that great, because it's not something that he would be used to, like, at all. And you could say that about the entire PGA experience with him. But so far, he's kind of pushed past all the, these new settings for him. Haven't really fazed him. Smashed right away in the WGC Mexico event, and a top 10 finish there, even though it's a reduced field. Still impressive, just considering all the top golfers in the world that were at that event. And that was kind of him backtracking, too, into a ninth place finish. He was the leader for multiple rounds. So, really like Sharma, but I'm not going to be too heavily invested in him. You know, with On only being $300 more, he's 39-1. Sharma's 66-1. So you got to kind of reel in expectations here a little bit, although I do like what he does. Jason Duffner, he's 49-1. He's more expensive on FanDuel, but $8,300 on DraftKings is really nice for Duffner. I know that he started, he finally missed a cut. His streak kind of came to an end there, but it was by one cut at the Valspar Championship. He hadn't played this tournament for years and years, but came back last year and finished 12th. It's kind of course I could see him doing well at. I know he's not the longest off of the tee, but that approach game is always really solid. His putting is looking a lot better this year, honestly. You know, just don't play him on FanDuel. Too expensive there. But on DraftKings, he's a reasonable enough value, and nobody's going to own him, looking at his most recent finishes here. But yeah, he looked pretty good at the match play, honestly. I don't mind Duffner. Bud Cauley, $8,200. He was looking kind of bad. He withdrew at the Honda Classic. Missed the cut horribly at the Valspar Championship, and this was a guy who was like really, really cheap, and DraftKings was tempting you to play him week after week, so he's been burning people, the people that play him. But you know, this guy's a magnificent par 5 scorer, one of the best on the PGA Tour, and he gets four par 5s to work with. not the longest off of the tee, but he really knows how to play. Yeah, his long approach game is really good, and you're going to need that a lot in this event. He missed the cut here last year, but in his two previous events, he finished 16th and 8th, and that's a good sign for him. He's not as cheap as he has been, $8,200, because he turned his form around a little bit with a 14th place finish at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I don't know, he's not the... Looking at the odds, he's not that great of a value compared to Duffner straight up. Duffner's about 50-1, he's about 75-1. Right there with Patrick Rogers here too, but I like Colley for his par 5 scoring. I'll be playing him in GPP. And I had mentioned Rogers. Rogers is kind of the same thing. He's a much longer hitter than Colley, and his recent form is really good. Last week, you know, finishing 22nd, that seems good, but it's not really considering how weak that field was. So that's kind of a push there. But 7th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, 8th at Pebble Beach, and he's made 6 cuts in a row overall. Now, before those 6 made cuts, he was tragically bad, and he had been tragically bad for months, so keep that in mind for playing him too much this week. But statistically, he's been awesome. He's been great at putting, scrambling, and his approach numbers are awesome. He's a good bent grass putter. There's a lot to like with Rogers here this week. I'm not going to be too heavily invested on him, although I do like his FanDuel price of $8,900. That is a good value there. Much better value than next guy I'll talk about here, Brant Snedeker. $10,800 on FanDuel is ridiculous. That is a horrible value for him, but $8,000 on DraftKings, that's looking a lot better. He's missed 2 of his last 3 cuts on tour, and he's missed his last 2 cuts at this event, but still $8,000 is very cheap for someone like Brant Snedeker, someone that has a winning caliber. He's a winning caliber player. He's going to stick out a little bit in the odds too, along with Duffner here, but I don't think people will be on him because of his recent play. And he's really short off the tee, more of an accuracy kind of guy. I'm not going to be on him too much, but still, sometimes I like to take a little bit of a step back from looking at just like the stats and the odds and just thinking, long term, like Snedeker, if you were to just think long term with him, he would be one of the top guys in this field. He's just been coming back off of an injury, and he could certainly pop off at any time. I just wouldn't take that risk on FanDuel. I'd definitely take it on DraftKings. And you've got a similar play here with Haas. Bill Haas, $7,900, way more expensive on FanDuel than DraftKings, but he's gotten into form recently. He's made 3 cuts in a row. He was on a streak of horrible finishes, and people might have forgot that Bill Haas is a good golfer, in fact, a championship-caliber golfer, a champion golfer. He finished 10th here in 2013, but missed the cut the last time he started here in 2015. Well, I think he did actually make the cut, but he finished near the last place of the field of the guys that did make the cut. That said, he still has made 3 of his cuts here. So he could be a pretty decent play and definitely is going to be low-owned. Ryan Palmer, I caught him talking about this course. He definitely thinks it's a bomber's course. And he says it's one of the few courses on tour where having distance will just straight up give you an advantage, an edge over people. And he certainly has distance. He drives the ball 316 yards. He missed the cut here last year, but he missed the cut everywhere last year, like at every tournament. Made the cut in 2016 and 7th place finish in 2014. He's turned it around a bit this year. 2nd place at the Farmers Insurance Open, 20th at the Career Builder, and most recently 28th at the Valspar Championships, although sandwiched in between those finishes were a couple of missed cuts at the Honda Classic and the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and those were by 2 strokes, so they're pretty missed cuts. The numbers that pop off of the page for him this year actually aren't in the driving category. Strokes gained off the tee, when you're a long driver, usually it just kind of equals out because your driving accuracy isn't good, but his approach numbers have been just fantastic. So far, of everyone that I've talked about, he has the best strokes gained approach, and it's not close. Looking at his fantasy scoring too, his fantasy points per hole is almost at 1, and like 1 is the number that you're at. Like, if you're at 1 fantasy point per hole, you're like a stud. Like, Jordan Spieth is 0.97, Stenson's 0.97. Looking back with Ryan Palmer, he's just such a freaking good par 5 scorer. Averages almost 2 fantasy points per hole on par 5s, which is ridiculously good. And just overall a good DraftKings score, and that's kind of what you're looking for. Sometimes, you know, we're looking at course history and recent form odds, and, you know, we just forget about the fact that, you know, a lot of, you know, most of the fantasy scoring that will be accumulated will come from just raw scoring and birdies and eagles. And with 4 par 5s on the course, even though they're very hard par 5s, you know, just the fact that there are 4 of them, and when there are certain courses that have 3 or even 2, that's a great sign for Ryan Palmer. I love playing him anywhere where there are these extra par 5s. And then last week's winner, Bryce Garnett, $7,800, and real cheap on FanDuel, $8,400. Cool thing about him is that he actually finished 7th here in 2014. Now, he's not a good golfer. I know that he won by multiple strokes, and, you know, looked awesome last week, but, you know, the event last week was freaking horrible. Like, bad. Like, super, super bad. Emiliano Grillo was by far the odds-on favorite to win. Let's just put into perspective how god-awful that tournament was in field strength. Now, he was excellent. He was absolutely excellent. And he had played well at the Valspar Championship coming in. But he had missed the cut horribly at the Honda Classic and Genesis Open before that. You know, it's been back and forth with him. You know, he was good at the Pebble Beach Farmers Insurance Open. You know, had a decent start to the season. But if you, the more you look back longer term, he's not a good golfer. You know, he's usually finishing dead last. Just had a really good week last week. And I think he's going to get a little bit of action just because of that nice win. But we don't see players doing well after a win usually, especially the first win on tour. We usually see him missing the cut. Like, we saw with Hudson Swafford when he won. He had made like 20-plus made cuts in a row going into that. And then he won, and then he missed like the next 3 or 4. But anyway, rolling right through the field here, we've got Thomas Peters at $7,500. He's probably going to stand out as, like, the chalk. Just looking at odds to pricing, he sticks out the most of anyone. This is a world-class golfer, you know, winner on the European Tour. Made every cut so far this year on the PGA Tour. Granted, he's only played 2 cut events, but the most recent cut event we've seen him at, he finished 13th at the Honda Classic. I mean, it's not like he's on any sort of, he's not like on a bad streak or anything. He's playing perfectly fine. I don't know why they dropped him all the way to 7,500. They had him priced well up there before to the point where he wasn't a value at all. And now he's a super value. Long-term, just looking at all of his American events here, he has a 78% made cut percentage, which is pretty good. But I also want to point you to Corey Connors here, $7,600. And that same stat, he has an 85% made cut percentage on tour. Only 13 events played for him, but he's looking excellent so far on the season. 13th last week in that field, but 16th at the Valspar Championship. He's made 6 out of 7 cuts on the year. Only poor performance he had was at the Pebble Beach Classic. Hit the ball just over 300 with a 62% driving accuracy. That is very good, but the greens and regulation are what really stick out for him. Hitting a lot of greens, even though his approach game is not that great. Kind of weird how that works out, but I think it's just because his driver sets him up so well. And with these large greens, he won't really have to worry about missing them too much and can use his good putting to his advantage. However, you know, it is a young guy, so don't get too heavily invested in the young guy. I'd kind of prefer the Thomas Peters play here, even with him being chalky, just because he is a seasoned veteran. You've got another seasoned veteran here at $7,500. Chris Kirk has kind of been on a roll. I know he's missed 2 cuts so far this year, but they were both by 1 single stroke. He has 3 finishes in the top 13, most recently at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I know he's short off of the tee. I know this, but every other statistic is looking really good for him. And I really mostly like the play just because Peters is right there, and he is really going to be highly owned. And you've got Scott Piercy at $7,500, and he's finished in the top 21 the last three times he's teed it up here, made the cut every time. He's had some rough performances in the last few weeks, especially just barely making the cut last week at the Corrales Punta Canas event, but he had four top 25 finishes in his first five starts to start off his season this year on the PGA Tour. Just ran into some snags here recently, and he actually had a good swing season too as well, had some more top 20s in there. And then Dylan Fratelli at $7,400, the European stud kid, looked awful at the WGC Mexico event, I'm not gonna lie. But, you know, I'm holding out for hope on this kid. I think he's going to be something special. Whenever I watch him, he's got just such a clean stroke. I like that a lot. So for $7,400, I don't mind it at all, you know. Just seeing him finishing 11th at the Honda, his PGA freaking debut, that's such a good sign. I like that a lot. So I'll disregard his Mexico showing, because that's like some crazy stuff, you know, way up in the air, you know, with the best golfers in the world. You know, at a field like this, I could see Fratelli having a lot more success. Then moving on down the field here, you've got a couple of really strong plays in Jamie Lovemark and Ches Reavie. I think they'll both be a little chalky. Maybe definitely Lovemark more than Reavie because of the recent form. But if you look just a little bit longer with Reavie, or especially if you go super long-term with him, he's just been on a tear. Not even just making cuts, but this guy came in through the swing season, even the latter half of last year, just finishing top 20, top 30 in every single event over and over. It culminated with two runner-up finishes at the Pebble Beach and Waste Management Phoenix Open. Then after that, he kind of hit a snag, missed the cut at the Genesis Open by one stroke. The Valspar missed the cut by one stroke. WGC Mexico finished towards the bottom of the field. And most recently, he didn't make it out of groups at the match play, but, you know, there is something that I really like about Reavie this week, and that's his bent grass putting numbers. He's actually been a little bit under average this year so far in putting, which is weird for him. He usually is a pretty good putter, but on bent grass greens, he excels, and I like that a lot. Only thing I'm worried about is he's very short off of the tee. He just is, and his best feature is his driving accuracy. And this just isn't really a course where driving accuracy is going to be that great for you, because the fairways are wider for everybody to hit. That advantage of yours kind of gets reduced. But if you're going to be needing to just hit par here a lot, that's something he can absolutely do. And fantasy scoring wise, his numbers are really good. 0.9 fantasy points per hole, it's a solid number. He's more par 4 oriented than I would like. You know, with they have the minimum number of par 4s on the course compared to your average week with just 10, but still 10, you know, that's a lot. You know, it's over half of the field still be par 4, so it's not like par 4 scoring is ever not important. It's always very important. So, you know, that's where he makes most of his bank here. So, like Reavie a lot, but I also like Lovemark. He's had the better short-term form, 5 made cuts in a row, 7th at the Honda Classic. He also missed the cut here last year. Or no, he didn't. He made the cut, but he finished very poorly. Of the guys that didn't make the cut, 2016 he finished 18th, and 2014 he missed the cut horribly. But that was back when he was an amateur. So, yeah, I think these two guys will be used a lot. You could also look to J.B. Holmes, same price, $7,300. 9,100 on FanDuel, which is pretty nice. He missed the cut here really, really badly last year, but his game was kind of in the toilet also. He won 2015, and two times before that, he finished 12th and 8th. Very good performances from him. He does perform a lot better in the Texas swing usually, although the numbers show that on bent grass, he's a very, very poor putter. Really, in general, he's just a poor putter. although it hasn't been the case this year so far. It's kind of weird. But, you know, historically he's been very long off of the tee. Just this year he's only averaging 302, but usually averages about 320 off of the tee. So I don't know if he's just been going to some less than driver courses or whatnot, but he's made 5 cuts in a row, but no finish in the top 40. To kind of explain how Holmes has been doing here recently. And then you've got options here even further down at the $7,300 range. It's kind of rich with value. You've got Jason Kokrak, who, you know, had an excellent start to the season, but missed the cut by 2 strokes at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. You've got Harris English, who has been garbage for a while, but likes to post top 10s out of nowhere, already has 3 of them on the season, including one last week at that shitty event. You've got Russell Knox, missed the cut by a stroke at the Arnold Palmer, but other than that, has had a pretty solid season. Not his course type at all, more of an accuracy guy, but still underpriced at 7.3. Then you've got Jonathan Vegas, who's finished top 20 last 2 times at this event, 20th at the WGC Mexico event most recently. Usually a long bomber, so even though the numbers aren't really looking that way for him so far this year, he's usually someone that can hit the ball pretty long. And he's really good at par 5 scoring. Then moving down to the $7,200 range here, you've got Ian Poulter, who impressed a lot last week, making out of his groups. Really upset a lot of good golfers on the way. Then Sean O'Hare, 7th at Arnold Palmer and 12th at the Valspar Championships. He's been bad for a while, but he's kind of figuring something out, and this is a course that he's good at. 4-for-4 made cuts, 10th in 2016. I don't know, man. I don't know why Sean O'Hare is all of a sudden starting to play good again, but I don't know what made him play so poorly for so long, too. Because he was a really good, solid, consistent golfer, then his game kind of fell off the face of the earth, but good to see him playing good again. I might be on him a little bit here. He's really sneaky. Then Kevin Streelman. He always got some ownership, and then as soon as he missed the cut at Valspar, everyone just stopped playing him. He was like under 1% owned. Made the cut at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Only thing I'm worried about here is he's 2-for-6 in made cuts at this event. This isn't his best event, and honestly, you know, he hits a ton of greens regulation, better than anyone in the field, but his driving distance is not the longest, and his good driving accuracy and good greens regulation numbers are going to be a little minimized this week, with it being more about just like distance and a little putting. Grayson Murray, also 7,200 here as well. He's had 3 top 5 finishes this year, but he's also had 4 missed cuts. So it's like you're getting one of the two with him. Makes him a really strong GPP play, but his price is really, really low. And he is an elite par 3 scorer, and he's got 4 par 3s to work with this week. You've got, going down to $7,100, is a very strong play in James Hahn. Everyone's going to see it kind of just right there on the DraftKings app. He's 10 for 10 in cuts made through the swing season and just through this season. Almost made out of groups at the match play. Had a very strong showing, but just barely didn't make it out of his group. You know, 58th, T58 at the Arnold Palmer. By far his worst showing of the year. He played the first 6 tournaments in a row and then took 3 weeks off. But during that stretch, he couldn't have been any better. Almost won the initial event, the Sony Open, and just has been super solid and consistent. And the thing with Hahn is, like, he'll miss, like, 10 cuts in a row, and then he'll make, like, 15 cuts in a row. He's a weird dude. And he'll always just win out of nowhere. So he has that top 5, top 3, win the tournament upside. $7,100, yeah, that's cheap as could be. You've got Martin Kaymer at $7,100. That price is nuts, right? Now, I'd hold off here. I'm not going to use Kaymer. He's a bit of a trap. He's coming off of an injury. He screwed over everyone at the Honda Classic by withdrawing with the wrist injury. Now, he says he's good. He's good to go. And he's going to give it a shot this week. But Just know that he's missed the cut the last three times he's teed it up here. He's never done well. And the same could be said about Lee Westwood here. It's a very similar play. Lee Westwood, a popular guy, you know, known for always being awesome at the Masters, which he won't be playing this year, which is kind of weird, but, you know, a European Tour guy mainly. He's also missed the last three cuts here at this event, although prior to that, he had five straight top 30 finishes, so don't really know what to make out of Westwood, honestly. He hasn't been playing a ton. Don't really have many numbers on here. One thing I just do see from him is that he is a god-awful bent grass putter. I'm not sure how big the sample size is there, but it should be pretty good. I went back a little ways with him, or with that stat, and he played a bit more over the last few years, but man, I don't really know what to make of it. A lot of it's probably from this tournament where he's just god awful. Moving on the field here, $7,000 is one clear good play here, and that's Brandon Harkins. Harkins has been a beast so far this season. He's made almost every cut, and every cut that he's missed has been by one stroke. I love that so much. Hitting the ball over 300 yards, kind of just the prototypical setup that you'd want for this course. The only place he's losing strokes is on approach, and maybe these giant greens will kind of bail him out a little bit here, I don't know, but man, he's been super consistent for a rookie. I like the play a lot, and he's just never going to be priced appropriately. Like, they always just have him near the bottom of the field here. Chris Stroud at $7,000, he's had some success at this event here, and he's also a Texas guy, so I kind of like him a little bit for that. And then dipping down to the bottom of the field, $6,000 guys. I'm kind of starting to like Bo Hostler a little bit here. I know he's had a really crappy go of it the last like three tournaments he's been in, but he had a really good start to the year, and he's just an awesome par four score. Just puts up a lot of fantasy points, even though he can miss some cuts. So I don't mind taking shots at him. I wouldn't fall for Seamus Power's fifth place finish last week, because he's still, I don't think he's any good yet. And really, of the bottom guys, there's only one play that I'm looking at this week. I mean, I might take like a shot at Blaine Barber at like dead minimum, but I really like Nick Watney, $6,800. Now, he's much more appropriately priced on FanDuel at $8,700, but $6,800 for Nick Watney is kind of nuts. I know that he finished almost dead last in this field last year, but you know, he was dealing with an injury, just straight up dealing with an injury. Could not golf to save his life. I think he was just coming off of the injury. But you know, before that, 25th, 27th. So far this year, he's been really a cash game play. I think I'm gonna put him in my cash game lineup this week, honestly. Made all six of his cuts, and he's hitting the ball over 311 yards. That power really did not go anywhere. He still got it going on. So I like Watney, but really not feeling the bottom of this field at all. On FanDuel, I think Cameron Tringale could be an interesting play. He had really good success at this tournament until the last couple of years, but his game's also kind of fallen off a little bit, but like at dead minimum, that's probably the best play you can make. And I don't know, maybe some Michael Kim. I know his form has been kind of bad through the swing season and all, but it's not like horrid anymore. He's made two of his last three cuts. He's had some really, really good performances at this event, and you know, for almost dead men on FanDuel, that's pretty decent. But on DraftKings, I would not touch him. And that'll do it for you. Obviously, can't wait till next week. I'll have content for the Masters out pretty early. Definitely can't wait for that. So that will be it for the Taco Tuesday PGA DFS podcast. Remember to come check us out. Check out our awesome research station and domination station lineup optimizer. That thing is hot fire. You will love it. I guarantee it. And you get all of our content for baseball season that's getting started right now. NBA season is still in effect. NASCAR. Don't have any NASCAR this upcoming weekend, but We got Texas Race in 2 weeks. You know, we get all with the DFS Army subscription. You get all of the sports all in one nice package. And remember to use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod and get a lifetime 10% discount. That'd be much appreciated. All right, I will see you guys at the Masters, where both our screens and our jackets will be green, baby. All right, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.